All right, well, let's open up our Bibles here. Matthew chapter 5. We are just diving into a series called Life in the Kingdom. Looking straight at the words of Jesus, where he, in this section of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5 to 7, is laying out his vision for life in the kingdom. The life that is possible, the life that we are made for, when the kingdom of God is present in our life. And as we looked at for the last couple weeks, this is the greatest invitation we're ever going to hear. When Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand, so repent and believe. And as we unpack that, very simply, the kingdom of God is at hand. He's saying that more of heaven is within reach. God's will is that the goodness, the power, the wholeness, the love, the perfection of heaven would transform the status quo of our life now. And it's right within reach. So repent and believe. And repent and believe is not, doesn't need to be scary things. Repent and it has all baggage to it. Repent means turn. Believe means do something with it. So we said there's two important questions, the most important questions in your life as a follower of Jesus, that live out this grabbing hold of the kingdom, that live out the repenting and believing. God, what are you saying to me? So you walk through life with a repentance mindset. God, what are you saying to me? And what do you want me to do about it? And that is the life of a disciple. Jesus says, come follow me. Let me show you what it looks like by my own life. He's modeling it. He's the master. And he's inviting us, saying, I have a life in the kingdom that's possible. I'm going to show you. I'm going to model it. And then through the Spirit's power, you too can be reborn so that you can live with the power of heaven. Every single day to say, God, what are you saying? What do you want me to do? And watch heaven's goodness transform. And this body of text we're about to get into, some of the most powerful, crucial, important teachings of Jesus of what does that life look like? Here's this vision. All of us have an idea in our mind of this is the vision of a good life. What is the good life? What is the life that I'm made for? What is the life that I long for? Everybody's got one of those. Some are more developed than others. Some are more intentional than others. Jesus right here is saying, here is the vision for life in the kingdom that you are made for. So last week we saw, blessed, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. And now here we go, this week, Matthew 5:1. Backing up a little bit. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on a mountain and he sat down. His disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them all about the kingdom, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Remember, the word blessed, great translation of it is happy. There's other words that can mean blessed that just mean blessed. This is very strongly carries the connotation of happy. So Jesus right here is introducing in these eight what are known as Beatitudes to kick off the Sermon on the Mount. He introduces, here's the blessed life. Here's the happy life, the good life. Someone, when you see their life, wow, they're blessed. That's the good life. But Jesus is turning some things upside down. Because the first thing he says, blessed are the poor, those who are broken, poverty in their spirit. This one is, blessed are those who mourn. Happy are those who mourn. So he's turning things upside down, showing us some of those secret keys to the kingdom. To walk in this life with the kingdom of God in our midst, the power of heaven transforming who we are on a moment-by-moment basis, how does that happen? And here he's given some of those secrets, if you will. Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This addresses one of the most personal questions that we could ever have, that we can ask. Life has hurt you. What does God have to say about that? I mean, God, or Jesus right here is speaking to a people that are weary and heavy laden, echoing that out into all of posterity, all who would come after, are weary and heavy laden. Life has hurt. We have hurts we all walk with. And how we understand this question of what does God have to say about that will absolutely affect drastically the course of our life. Does God care about the hurts? Maybe you walk with a secret pain, a burden, a struggle, a fear. What does God have to say about that? Is there an opportunity, is there hope in this life now, that you can be freed from the deep mourning that you struggle with, that this life has brought you? And on comes Jesus to the scene. And he says, this is a proclamation of God's heart for you. God is a healer of hearts, and you have a heart that needs to be healed. This is an announcement. When it says that this is the good news, Jesus went around preaching the gospel. It's translated good news. The good news that God cares about your mourning. And further than that, that God's will for your life is that your heart be healed, that your heart be comforted. In this simple pronouncement, Jesus is setting forth one of the most important things we could ever know about God. Does God care? What is God's will for my hurting, my struggling, my pain? And Jesus is giving this bold announcement that he then lives out the rest of his life, but says, this, make no mistakes, God is a healer of hearts, and you have a heart that needs to be healed. So be happy, be blessed. There's good news for you today. And in this pronouncement, Jesus is quoting a passage back in Isaiah, and I want to spend our time there today. I'm very confident that Jesus was quoting it, and he's alluding to this passage as an explanation of what kind of comfort is coming. This is what they call a messianic passage, Isaiah 61. It speaks of the Messiah, and it says this in verses 1 to 3. And this passage right here, I'm going to make a couple connections to show you that I really, really believe Jesus has this on his mind when he is speaking of God's heart to comfort. What does that look like? What does that mean? Right here. Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You guys can keep your Bibles open there. We're going to dig into that a little bit. But to make a couple just quick connections, what Jesus is doing here when he pronounces, blessed, happy are the poor in spirit, for they shall be comforted, echoes back here to this prophecy of the coming Messiah. And it is a prophecy, and everyone in Israel who would listen would know that these words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Jesus actually directly quotes that in Luke chapter 4. He opens up the scroll. This is his first time back in his hometown after he's been baptized and the Holy Spirit has come upon him for him to do his ministry. He goes home in the synagogues. It was common to let people read from the scroll, especially aspiring rabbis. And so Jesus reads this passage. He chooses this passage of Isaiah about the Messiah. And it starts saying, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to be good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted. That's the good work that God is finally going to do when the Messiah comes to earth to make things right, to bring God's heaven to earth, if you will. And Jesus sits down after he's done reading in Luke 4:20, says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your midst. That is a bold claim by Jesus. That prophetic future coming Messiah who was going to inaugurate the time in which God sets things right, aka the kingdom of God, Jesus says, it's here with me. So he alludes to that passage in Isaiah 61. In that, not alludes, he straight up quotes it about himself and has a very clear understanding. This is his ministry. This is what he's doing. But in that passage, there's a parallel to right here. Talks about this comforting of the mourning would be the ministry of the Messiah. And Jesus picks it up. And he says, in the second beatitude, in the very second thing he has to say about the kingdom of God and the work that's God's gonna do on earth in our lives through Jesus, first and foremost, reflecting God's heart, he says, blessed are you, happy are you who mourn, because you're gonna get comforted by the Messiah. So let's look at this. Let's dig in here a little bit. Isaiah 61. It is an incredible piece of God's heart. All of us, whether we know it or not, you guys, you're theologians. You walk through life with an understanding of God. You have a picture of God in your head. You have a vision, an understanding, a thought of who God is and how God feels about you and how God's going to treat you. And all of us need to have that shaped and reshaped after the heart of God. Not the lies of the world or the lies of the enemy or the brokenness of our own experience. And this passage is one of the most important ones that shows us the heart of God that is a healer of broken hearts. So let's take a look. Isaiah 61 goes on to say, in verse 2, I want to just pick out a few things. There's so much of it. But as you're thinking about God and what does God want to do in my life, remember, that's exactly what Jesus is addressing in the kingdom of God speech in this whole Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, this is what you can expect from God. This is what you should think about when you think about God. This is what you should expect God for. This is what God's will is for your life. And so here's some of it. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, open the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. I want to stop there for a minute. There's a phrase. Before we get to the mourning section, there's a phrase in there that just has to do with the whole thing of how we view God. And it says this, that Jesus is here, the Messiah is here to proclaim the year of the Lord's, what? Favor. That is a fundamentally important question that we all answer somewhere or another. Is God on my side? Is God want to do good to me? Does God want to harm me? Does God want to heal me? Does he want to hurt me? Does he want to bind up or is he broken? Is God angry at me? Jesus comes and he pronounces what? The year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's undeserved goodness. But what's amazing, incredible, is because of what Jesus went then and did through his whole life and his death on the cross and his resurrection to prove it, it's not just a year of the Lord's favor, it is an eternity of the Lord's favor. We are in an era, an unending era of grace, of undeserved goodness, of favor. So to translate that into the reality of our lives, because of Jesus as the Messiah, God is always on our side. There's always favor. Now, that's not to say that God's pleased by everything we do. That's not the point. We can dishonor God. We can grieve the Spirit. But as far as your position with God, right here, it says, because of Jesus, that God is favorable towards you. He wants to bring undeserved goodness. Now, see, you might not always please him, but that doesn't change the undeserved goodness coming your way. It is the year of favor. It is now the eternity of favor, undeserved goodness. Even when you don't deserve it, God has favor towards you. Undeserved favor to do things in your life that you haven't earned and can't earn and don't deserve. That's what it is. It's favor, undeserved goodness. And that right there will be a transforming reality if you can take it to your heart. How does God think about me? Some of you guys are celebrating baptism today. That is a celebration. Go in the water, come back up. That represents Jesus' death and life, and we are bound with him in his death and life. Therefore, what we deserve, he took it on the cross. So what he deserves, God gives us. A new life where the favor of heaven pours out our way. Where God is on our side to heal, to bring good. That right there needs, if that penetrates our being, it'll change our life forever. When you wake up in the morning knowing that God is in a good mood towards you, not because of your greatness, but because of what Jesus deserves and what did for you, it changes everything. To know God is on my side to heal me. God is on my side to do good to me. God is on my side to take care and be the lifter of my head. And that premise, therefore, is what Jesus starts with here, or what this prophetic passage starts with, and then it details out a little bit, saying, well, what are some of those specifics that I can expect from God if God's favor is towards me to comfort me when I mourn? And he goes on. Let's check them out. They are incredible. To comfort those who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion. Zion is means that the city of God, the people of God. To grant to those who mourn, the people of God, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. So let me just start. There's a phrase in there. God's favor because of who Jesus is as the Messiah towards his children now. The kingdom is full of favor where God is going to give you gifts. Reminds me of Luke 12, one of my favorite verses. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. You can't earn his kingdom. It's a gift to be given that the Father wants to lavish upon you as an inheritance, as his children. He's a good daddy. Here's some of the gifts he wants to lavish on those who are mourning. He wants to give these things. Three things we want to talk about. A headdress, it says. A beautiful headdress instead of ashes. Ashes are things that were marked on the head as a sign of mourning. It was often at funerals or often in repentance of sin and various other reasons. The ashes, and they would be a sign to all those who walked by, whoa, that person's grieving right now. Don't mess with them. They're mourning. And some of you wear that sign on your head, you don't have to put ashes. Oh, don't mess with them today. They're having one of those days. But it was a cultural sign. And Jesus is saying, God's heart, his kingdom that he wants to bring into your life, he wants to give you, lavish upon you because of his favor. He wants to exchange that ashes, that attitude, the actions, the thoughts, the heart, the feelings of I'm walking through life mourning, and instead he wants to give you a beautiful headdress. What on earth is that? It was simply this. It was honestly like a tiara, okay? So if any of you rock a tiara next week, I'll know. I'll say, hey, you are. It's right in the will of the Lord. And just come up here and dance and sing and just. It was a tiara that represented, it was given to wear what? In times of joy and celebration. So this is getting metaphorical, but it's saying that the heart of God for you as you're walking through life is to take that ash that's just all over you and instead put on you a crown of joy and celebration so that you walk through life instead of mourning, you dancing. That is, can I believe that that is God's heart towards me? That's the kind of the question for today. Can I believe that that's really God's heart? And he goes on. He's not done. And in all of these things, what I want you to notice is there is that God is in the business of reversal. That is so important to get into our understanding and believe that that's the heart of God. Be happy. Let's go back to the beatitude. Be happy. God's favor is upon you to reverse your mourning. It's another way of saying it. Be happy. God's favor is upon you to reverse your current situation that's causing mourning. The next one, the oil of joy. So this is very simple. It's not hard to understand. There would be parties. You would go to a party and the host would, I don't exactly know why. We don't do that anymore. But the host would pour oil on you that smells good as part of a joyful celebration at a party. That sounds a little weird to me. I've never gone into someone's home and they, ding, 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 go have fun. What are you doing? I already put my perfume on, right? That's messing with my whatever. But that was a symbolic gesture in the culture that was representative, again, that this is meant to be a time of festivity, a time of joy, a time of laughter, a time of fun. When you walked into a place and you got the oil dumped on you that smelled good, it was just supposed to kind of put a little pep in your step. God's heart is that this is time, your life, now is the season in God's favor for some of that smelly good oil to be dumped on you. In other words, God's saying it's time for joy. And then he goes on, in the last one here, God wants to give, he wants to lavish a garment of praise. That, again, is an intentional reversal of another kind of garment that was often worn, especially by mourners. It was called a sackcloth. Jesus refers to it when he talks about fasting in sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth was the accompanying garb that you would wear when you would put the ashes on your head. It was a specific kind of garment that, if the ashes didn't do well enough, signaled to everybody, hey, I'm in a time of mourning right now. I am grieving. There is pain in my life. So I need my space. Intentional reversal of you wearing the garment of ashes and sackcloth is God's heart. To put on a garment of praise, it was a bright colored garment. Kind of instead of kind of a drab gray or black sackcloth, something like that, that just says, I'm grieving. This is a colorful garment that is indicative of thankfulness. It's saying, I have a ton to be thankful for. The bright colors are meant to kind of symbolize your countenance, your attitude, your heart, your thoughts. So put these things together, bringing them back into a beatitude. And Jesus is saying, be happy. God's will for your life is the reversal of mourning to dancing, from depression to joy, from just pain and grief into a time where your heart is full of thanks. Can I believe that of you today, God? That God is on my side for this. That Jesus' pronouncement says, be happy. God's favor is with you to bring you into the fullness of joy you are made for, in which you walk full of thanks and praise, not grief, mourning, and despair. Jesus' pronouncement to us, God's heart is to heal. And we have hearts that need healing. And so my question for you guys is, can you grab hold of that today? We talked about those two questions. What is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? Can you grab hold of this? In other words, do you believe it? Do you believe, can you today walk away saying, I believe that God wants, it's not just a year, it is now in Jesus an era, an eternity, it starts today and is every day, that God wants to turn my mourning into dancing. He wants to turn my sorrow into joy, my pain into praise and thanksgiving. Do I believe that about God? See, because some of us need to repent. Some of us need to repent because we don't really believe that about God. Now remember what repentance is. It's turning so that we can come more into alignment with God's ways and what God is offering. Some of us need to repent because effectively, maybe we've been hurt in life. Maybe we feel like we've blamed it on God and been hurt. Some of us have effectively turned away and don't believe that God has the heart to heal you from your pain, and effectively we walk every day saying, no thanks, God. I got it. I got this. Now, it may be a painful I got this. It may be a struggling I got this. It may be even a subconscious I got this because you're hurt. But if we're not in alignment with the truth that God has a heart to heal, he is a healer of hearts, and you have a heart that needs to be healed, if we're not in alignment with that, it's effectively cutting us off, saying no thanks. And so that repentance is coming into that alignment saying, yes, Lord, I believe, and I'm in a fight to believe that your heart towards me is one of favor, and it's that you want to heal my heart. But secondly, on that, another way of possibly needing repenting is that some of us don't even know where and how we are mourning. Some of you may have been taught by a life or your family or just to survive that right now you pretend you don't even need any healing. You pretend you aren't mourning. You don't struggle. You don't have hard days. There's not pain. There's not grief. Some of you have just had to do that to survive. Some of you have been taught, oh, it's weak to admit that you're having a hard time. Oh, man, you got to have it all together. You don't struggle. We pull yourself up by our bootstraps and our family. Blah, 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 blah. All that stuff. It's out there. And it comes in here. And some of us need to repent of that. That's why Jesus says, happy are those who mourn. Some of us don't even realize that we're mourning or won't admit that we are mourning or won't take ownership that I have a heart that needs to be healed in various areas. And if we don't, then what are we doing? Effectively, again, we've said, no thanks, God. I've got it. I'm going to continue on in my ways, hurt, struggling, painful, despairing, depressed. But I got it, God. I can't admit it. Repentance is saying, God, whoa, I have a heart that needs healing. There's some things going on in here that just keep coming back where it's hurt, it's painful, it's fearful. And God's saying, amen. That's repentance, just saying, I agree with heaven. Repenting is saying, I agree with heaven. I agree with you, God. I agree with your perspective. And Jesus is clearly saying, God has a heart to heal. He is a healer of hearts, and we have hearts that need to be healed. So what are you going to do about it? That's kind of the question that we want to finish with. And I think effectively, agreement is a very, very key word. In our actions, in our thoughts, in our prayers, can I agree with heaven? Can I agree with Jesus that God is a healer of hearts and that my heart needs healing? And maybe you need to fight with this a little bit. You need to struggle with God. You need to wrestle with God on that, and that's okay. We believe in that around here. We believe in David gave this beautiful example of wrestling with God, and it only made his relationship more authentic and more deep. But what Jesus is unpacking here in this beatitude is that you have a heart that needs healing, and God is a healer of hearts. That's the good news. And our action step is to agree with that, to say, yes, I agree with heaven, and show me, Lord. Show me, Lord, where you want to turn my mourning into dancing. Show me, Lord, where you want to take off that garment of just pain and depression, and you want to give me a garment where I walk daily in thankfulness, in praise, that it flows out of me, that you want to dump that oil on me, Lord, where I just want to go dance through life. Lord, you want to put a crown on my head, or that heaviness that is just was just over me like a black cloud. It's lifted, and I've got a crown on my head right now that just signifies me celebrating a healed heart. I want you guys to hear this is God's heart, God's invitation today. Sometimes it's like a wound, you know, like. I put a little Band-Aid. I got a cut on my arm, right? And I put a little Band-Aid over it because that kind of makes it feel a little better for a little while. And God's saying, hey, I want to heal that wound. I want to just heal it forever. And you might say, no, I got a Band-Aid. I'm cool. But, you know, that Band-Aid under there, it may just be festering. And it's going to be painful to go, ooh, ow, and just kind of expose that. What God's heart is saying is, like, be willing to expose that. I only reveal what I want to heal. I don't want to expose anything to make you feel ugly, embarrassed, shameful. No, my favor is upon you to turn your mourning into dancing. My favor is upon you to give you a garment of praise. What an invitation from Jesus for all of us, because none of us are completely healed. None of us have hearts that don't need any more little healing, that don't have any little wounds, any pricks, any pain. Any just reasons why we wake up with fear or despair or doubt or hopelessness. We all have those moments, those times, some more than others. And Jesus' ridiculous invitation. Say, hey guys, I know none of you walk in the fullness of joy that you're made for. So be happy. Be happy when you mourn, knowing God's heart for you, his kingdom that he wants to bring into your life and transform. You will be comforted. You will be healed. That is... That is serious. I'm a little more serious today than normal, but it's like, because it's like, whoa, Lord, these are some heavy things that I want to get right with you. I want to know this about you. I want to believe this about you. I want to be able to wake up in the morning having this as my truth that I'm holding on to. So I can walk this journey then of healing, of more freedom. Less mourning, more dancing. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would do a supernatural work in every heart in this room to open the eyes of their heart to see and believe with every ounce of their being that your favor is upon them and that your heart, you want to give them, is a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness, and a garment of praise. We pray right now for your Holy Spirit to help our hearts experience this awesome truth of who you are. Help us wake up tomorrow and the next day and the next believing because we've encountered a taste of your heart. I pray for people right now to have an experience, Lord, of your heart. That whatever they've gone through in life, even painful things that they may have blamed on you, Lord, that you would break any of those lies and show them your heart right now. Show them you are the great healer. It's your good pleasure. It makes you happy to give us all the goodness of the kingdom, which includes a healed heart. Holy Spirit, just come and minister to our hearts. Let this be a new revelation of who you are that we can walk out this door with and wake up every morning with, so that when times are hard and the circumstances of life get crazy and things are pressuring us, there is something deep within our being that you can just smile saying, well, I know God. I know God's on my side. I know God has favor towards me. I know God is a healer of hearts. And we can find refuge in you, God. Thank you, Lord. You want to do this, and you're doing this right now for open hearts. If you want this and you haven't experienced this to the greatest level you know you should or at all, just say, God, I open my heart. I want to know you as healer. I want to know that you're in a good mood with favor towards me to heal.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at @weareelevation and on Facebook, facebook.com/weareelevation.